There are just some wonderful Bible stories in the Old Testament, and not the least of which is the story of Ruth. I think it has to be one of my very favorites. There's a passage in Ruth chapter number 2 and verse 12. I just want to draw from that verse and talk to you a few minutes tonight and try to encourage you about the blessings that can be given to us or how God can help us when we simply learn to trust Him despite the circumstances of our life. It's a beautiful poetic verse. Ruth 2 and verse 12 is where we'll draw our text. My subject is, under His wings, we learn to trust. Under His wings, we learn to trust. Look, if you would, in Ruth 2 and verse 12. These are the words of Boaz, actually, to Ruth. He says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Now, he says this to her because he sees in her a great kindness that she's extending to her mother-in-law with all the circumstances in her life. But the phrase, under His wings, speaks to protection. You remember Jesus, He said He would gather the children of Israel like a hen would gather her little chicks under His brood and would protect them. Many of the Psalms mention this. They say, the Lord will cover us. We take refuge with the Lord. He covers us with His feathers. We're kept under the shadow of His wings. It's a poetic expression that speaks to the protection and the watch care and the comfort and the love of God that embraces our lives, especially in times of difficulty. Tonight, I want you to look at the text tonight in about three categories. First of all, as we think about Ruth, Ruth's heart is heavy when you meet her. Ruth is a girl with a heavy heart. She has a lot of reasons to be heavy in her heart. Her husband is recently dead. She's a young widow. Her brother-in-law is also dead. You remember her sister in Moab is left there, and both the boys of Ruth's, Naomi's children. The father dies, the sons die, and so Ruth is left without her husband, or excuse me, without her father-in-law, without her brother, her sister. All the men in her life are certainly gone. There's no one there to protect her, you might say. The only stabilizing force in her life is, of course, Naomi. And so she has a heavy heart, no doubt. But when you zoom in on Ruth's life or you learn about her background a little bit, you know that she's a woman that must carry a great deal of shame. She carries shame because the Bible says that she's a Moabite. Now, what's a Moabite? Well, they had their inception or the beginning with Lot's daughters. They're the product of an incestuous relationship that Lot had with his daughters after he'd gotten drunk, and they were the people of Moab. And their sinful lifestyle continued throughout the scriptures. There's a text that tells us that people of Moab were always went whoring, and it was just a terrible environment for a person to live in. So she has pain in her life because she's lost people in her life that she loves. And then she has a great deal of shame in her life because she's a Moabite. And right there in several short verses, she's mentioned over and over again, Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the Moabite. People see her, they know that's who she is. She is a person who has a background that comes from a very sinful people. She don't have much of a pedigree. So her heart's in pain, her life is kind of stigmatized by the shame of the people and the place where she came from. And I think she's also perhaps early on a woman who may feel some blame. She has pain, shame, but Naomi, her mother-in-law, she sees something in her that she was very different than when she first met her. Naomi was known as a pleasant woman. She was the kind of woman that you like to be around because she had this infectious personality. She was a very gentle woman. by her nature, by her personality. But when all the trauma came into her life, it changed her. When her husband died and her sons died, something happened to Naomi where she didn't feel that she could rightfully be called Naomi, which means pleasant. As a matter of fact, when she comes back into the land of Bethlehem, she tells the people, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara." Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. And she said, "The Lord has dealt bitterly with me." Can you imagine how that probably changed her personality? If you met people in your life before, do you remember a time when they were able, they had a sweetness about them. They had a kind of an infectious kind of way about them that drew you to them. But after just one thing after another, the wear and tear of life on them changes them. It's not the pleasantness that you've once known. It's something, the scars and has marred the heart, and life has become difficult. So I'm thinking that Ruth's heart could have very well been heavy, the pain. She's lost all the people in her life that could protect her. The shame she feels, she is a Moabite, and people let her know it pretty regularly. And then when Naomi tells them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter, because God has dealt bitter with me." I suspect that Ruth may have felt some blame for that. "Oh, it's because you came into the land where I'm from. It's because you and your family came into Moab." And we know what God said about Moab. God said Moab was his washpot. J. Vernon McGee said you could say it was his garbage can. The worst of the worst were just exiled into this area. And so you move into Moab and you get connected with my land and my life and my family, and all these bad things happen. And it's changed you. It's left you a woman that has not pleasant anymore, a woman who feels that God has dealt bitter with her. I can imagine that that would make a person feel some of the blame. So Ruth's heart is heavy when you first meet her. But then something happens in her life. As you follow her life, not just the heavy heart, I got a little bit ahead of myself earlier, but Ruth's home life is hard. Life at home now is difficult because, like I said, there's no man around to help to take care of her or her mother-in-law. So it's a difficult time. I realize women hear that today and say, "Hey, well, I don't need a man to take care of me. I can do it myself." Well, it wasn't that way in the Bible days. I can promise you that. I mean, life was difficult for a woman, regardless of their situation, but particularly a woman who is now widowed. Poverty was consuming them. They became very, very poor. They had no way to gather a suitable income to take care of the family. And so when Ruth gets into this new land, Bethlehem, she says, "I got to get a job. I've got to go to work." And so she says, "I'm going to go glean in the fields. I'm going to gather some barley. I'm going to gather some grain so I can bring it home and we can beat it out and bake it and have something to eat." And Naomi appreciated that, and she told her, said, "You go and do that." In verse, she says, "Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn, in whose sight maybe I'll find grace. I'll meet somebody." She said, "Go, my daughter." And so she goes to work, and she goes out into the field, and you know the story. This is the land that Boaz owns. Boaz is a very wealthy man, much older than she is, but he owns a great deal of land and has lots of servants. And she looks at the field and she says, "You know, that corn looks good. I'm going to go and gather that." And so she's out there working in the field. And I just love it when the way God works, when Boaz looks over there at Ruth, he says to Ruth, or says to his servants, "Whose damsel is that?" There's something about Ruth that caught his eye. She's out there working in the field, and they said, "Well, that's the woman that came out of Moab with Naomi. And she's lost her husband, and they've lost her father-in-law, and lost everything in her life, and she's in great distress right now. And he says, well, I tell you what you do. You save. You see, the reapers would come and reap out the corners. They'd reap out the field, and they'd leave the corners for the poor people. The poor could go over there and gather out of the corners, and that was the law of God, actually, that they were told to leave the corners for the poor people so they would have food. But Boaz wanted to make it easier on it. He says, you let her, give her some handfuls on purpose. When you're gathering that corn, just throw some good handfuls down there so she won't have to work so hard for it. Because his heart was drawn to her without question. And so her life, her home life is hard. There's poverty there. There's pressure, heavy heart, all of these things. But then in the midst of this, in the midst of her pain and her shame, feeling the blame, Ruth gets hope. She something takes place. God works in her life. She sees the providence of God. And I call this, her hope was helped. In other words, she had some hope when she went in. She initially told Naomi, she says, let me go work and maybe I'll find grace. And now she's finding grace and good things are happening because of the providence of God. And bear with me. I'll get to our text in a minute. It'll come together. So God's providence, God's watching this. God's working and God's arranging all of these things to take place in her life, even though she's going on with a heavy heart. She's taking care of her mother-in-law. She's doing the right thing. She's pressing on despite the pain and the shame and the blame that she may feel. She continues to go and do what she should do because it's the right thing to do. And she's trusting that by the good grace of God, something good might happen. Well, just as God's providence does work, chapter 2 and verse 3, the word says, and she went and came and gleaned the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Her hap. In other words, it was worked out that where the field that she was in was the field of Boaz. Now, she don't know anything about a redeemer and about kinsmen and all of that, and I'm not even going to get into that part of it tonight. We might do that another time because I have a different point I want to try to make. Her hat was to light on part of the field belonging to this wealthy Boaz, who had a kind heart, who was a man of grace, who was already drawn to her the very first time he saw her. But God was working in the life of Boaz, and he was working in the life of Ruth. Even though there were many terrible things taking place, God's providence was arranging this meeting. Let me just tell you something. I don't care what you're going through. The providence of God is working things out for your good in time. There's no question about that. You might be right in the thick of a terrible storm, but God is working in some other area that you can't see right now, and he's going to bring you to a place where you're going to see the grace of God working through all the pain in your life. Her hap was to light on the field of Boaz. Now, what happens then? You see, God's ordering her steps, even though she's having a difficult time. Even though life is hard for her, God's ordering her steps. Let me ask you this. Is your heart heavy today? Are you having a difficult time, whether it's at home or at work or in life? You know, when your heart's heavy, when you're feeling pain and shame and you're feeling blame, it's hard to have relationships, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to keep up, be a good friend. It's hard at home. It's hard with your children. Life just is hard when all of that, when your heart is so heavy. And Ruth inspires us to just keep on doing what you should be doing, and God's providence will work things out in the end. And so you know the story. She gleans in the field, and she gathers up all this corn. And it's a lot of corn for a young woman to take because Boaz, remember, has told her, said, put some handfuls on purpose, and she gets plenty. Well, when she gets it all gathered up, she's ready to go home. You know she can't wait to get home and show Naomi what she's reaped that day. Naomi couldn't have possibly expected her to come in with such a harvest. And so she gets home, and you can almost see the smile of the young woman as she lights up, and she's bringing that food, and Naomi had to look at her and say, my goodness, where in the world did you come up with such a harvest? I said, well, I was gleaning in the field, And this very kind man just showed up. He talked to me, and it's the way he looked at me and his kindness toward me. And he told his reapers to put handfuls on purpose, and I've got all of this food because of his grace and his goodness and his kindness. And she says, "Oh, how wonderful." Said, "What's his name?" And Ruth says, "He said his name was Boaz." Naomi sits up and says, "Boaz? Do you know he's a kinsman?" Now, you have to understand, in Old Testament law, when a woman becomes a widow, the next of kin would take her to be their wife and take care of her if he was available, if he wasn't already married or it was a situation where he could. And so he says, "Boaz, he's kin. He's in the family." And she must have lit up. You know, I can see her eyes get big with wonder. So what does that mean? So, well, it means, according to the law of our God, is that he may very well be able to make you his wife. And if he makes you his wife, then all that he has will belong to you. She said, "But I think there's somebody that's closer to kin than he is." Well, that story will unfold in a moment. So what do I do? She says, and I love this. Now, this is, you know, the Bible said, "Let the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands." And you see a classic example here, the way Naomi tells Ruth exactly what to do to get Boaz interested in marrying her. She goes through some interesting steps here. You go to chapter 3 and verse 1, and this is what she says. Let's look at that text. I think I have it for you. Follow along with me. She gets a little push from Naomi. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall not I seek rest of thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. Make not thyself known unto the man, and he shall have done until he's done eating and drinking.'" Now, that's just good advice. You know, don't, you know, you let the man eat first, all right? I mean, you know, the first 5 minutes when you get home are very important. You know, give him a little break there. And so he says, "It shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he lieth, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet." Now see, women, how you supposed to treat men here? He says, "And lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me will I do." And she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Now he says, and Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid. Well, that would startle you. You wake up and you see Moab lying there at the feet of Boaz. And the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who art thou?" She said, "I'm Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread thy skirt over thy handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman." What she's basically saying, "I'm here and I want you to marry me. I'm going to be your wife." Now remember, the first time he saw her, he says, "Whose damsel is this?" Oh, that's Ruth. She's a Moabite. And he didn't blink. He didn't bother. He didn't care if she's a Moabite, where she came from. He was interested. Give her handfuls on purpose. God's working on his heart, and God's working in Naomi, and God's working in Ruth. She puts all this together. He said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed me more kindness than the latter. Excuse me. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed me more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." He is overwhelmed by how God's grace is now working in his life. Naomi says, "You know, get all cleaned up, put on something that smells really good, really nice, walk in there softly, lie down." And the custom was, when he's spreading the skirt or the outer garment over there, that's the covering, and she wanted him to make claim her as his wife. And so all of this took place. Now going back, here's a woman coming into a land. She leaves Moab, God's washpot, garbage can. There's no real hope. Nothing really happening there, and every good thing around her is dying. All the people that could protect her and take care of her are being taken away from her one by one. Naomi looks at her, and when she's in Moab, and he says, look, you need to go on. Said, stay here. I'm going back home. I'm going to Bethlehem, the house of bread and praise. And her sister says, kissed her and said bye, but Naomi says, she cleaves to her. Ruth cleaves to Naomi, and she's not going. And she says to her, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to turn from following after thee. Whether thou goest, I'll go, and whether thou lodgest, I'll lodge. My people, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. I'm not going anywhere, I'm going with you, because she loved her. Just trusting God, even though she knew very little about it. And now God is working in her life, her heart's heavy, her life has been shattered, decimated on so many levels. But she gets up and continues to do what she should do because it's the right thing to do. Her mentor, Naomi, tells her how to do it, and she follows those steps to the best of her ability. And what happens is God brings Boaz into her life, and God prepares Ruth's heart for him, and God brings them together and makes a beautiful union and takes care of her. And let's go back to our text verse now. Watch this. I think I have the last verse. The plans of Boaz. Notice this. He said, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do all to thee that thou requirest. In other words, this is the way he responded to her. He says, look, I'm going to take care of all the details. I'll do everything that needs to be done to make this marriage happen. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to treat you right. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And then the verse, I think our last verse here. Don't worry about a thing. That's the Living Bible. My child, I'll handle all the details. And that's the way Jesus does. You know, once you lay everything in his feet, once you give it all to him, he'll handle all the details. And then verse number 12 again. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given of thee. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, this is what I want to say. Said all that to say this. I realize I chopped it up pretty badly. This is what I want to say. You carrying a heavy heart. You carrying a lot of pain. You carrying some shame. Even blaming yourself for some things. And life looks really bad. It's bad at home. It's bad at work. Life's just difficult. You got a little bit of hope, but not a whole lot of hope, but you got enough hope to get up and go and keep going and keep doing what you should do, even though your hope is flickering a little bit. It's just barely alive. Next thing you know, God steps in as Boaz steps into her life, and he handles all the details. But after, only after, she lays it all at his feet. She tells him, I'm the Moabite. And she presents herself and surrenders to him. And he looks at her and says, okay, you've done this, and I'm going to handle all the details. I'm going to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of to make sure that you're always taken care of. Why? Because you've come under the wings of God, and you've learned to trust. Here's the thing, friend. Whatever it is, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Lay at the feet of Jesus and give it all to him and learn to trust. Just give it up. Quit carrying it around. Just put yourself in a position to where you say, Lord, here I am. We've all got a lot of Moabite in us. We're certainly not all we could be or all we should be, but we lay every bit at the feet of our divine Boaz. And we come under his protection, where he envelops us with his grace and with his love and his care and his comfort. And because we're there, and because we learn to trust, He'll handle all the details. All those things you're worried about. All those things you're stressing over. All those things that are attacking your hope. All those things that when you look at it on, if you write it all down and you look at it on paper, it looks really, really bad. But once you bring it to the divine Boaz, once you bring it to Jesus, he'll handle all the details. I don't care if it's pain or shame or you're blaming yourself for something. Bring it to him. Lay yourself before him and ask him to just cover you with his wings. And if you're trusting there, he'll handle all the details. I'm telling you, under his wings, you've come to trust. God's going to do great things for you, Boaz says. The grace of God's going to provide for you. God's going to take care of you. He didn't know at that time that God would use him. But he said, I can tell you have come under his wings and you've learned to trust. If you learn to trust, the Lord will gather you up under his wings, hold you up close to him, and there's nothing he can't get you through. Under his wings, we learn to trust. But boy, we get out there away from that, and life is really hard. I don't feel anything but shame and pain and blame wandering around in Moab. That's a bad way to try to find peace. It's a bad way to get to find, look for hope. But there's something about when I come and I just lay myself down before him. And I tell him all there is to tell, or all that I know to tell. He just kind of spreads those wings over me, covers me with his love, and handles the details. The next thing you know, I've got corn in my basket again. I've got hope in my heart. I've got the things that I need because you know what? He took care of the details. But boy, when I'm out there running around trying to get them, it just doesn't work. Why don't you come on under his wings and learn to trust? He'll take care of the details, whatever those details are. You can't take care of them, but he can. Let's pray. That's just my thought for tonight. Thank you for your patience with me, and I hope that'll be a help to someone. Father, I want to thank you that your word is alive. Every message in it, every story that's told, every doctrine and all points of theology, all of it, Lord, belongs to you. And it's all rich. It's all good. It is wise. It converts the soul, refreshes the heart, enlightens the eyes. I pray tonight for that person that, for whatever reason, may be carrying some pain, perhaps even some shame. Maybe they're blaming themselves for something. They are confronted with a lot of stuff from Moab. This world, Lord, just creating a lot of problems for them. Help them to know, Lord, that none of those things are too big for you. If they'll do as Ruth, just lay themselves before you, cast all their care on you, you'll handle the details. You'll take care of everything. Give us that kind of faith, Lord, and thank you for your grace. In Christ's name I pray, amen.